Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, sponsored by Mortgage Right. Mortgage is done the right way. Holly, good morning. And we've got Holly Deedy in studio with us, Keller Williams Realty. Big background going back to the mortgage crisis. We want to talk about today the stimulus program package, whatever you want to call it, in relation to how it affects home buyers in the area, current homeowners, their mortgages. And Holly, you've got a background with that, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I used to train people across the United States to take homeowners who could not pay their mortgage, all the way from the call, hey, I can't pay my mortgage this month, through every single modification program up to and including foreclosure. So I was training people to handle those calls and process all of those modifications.
And you were doing that through the mortgage crisis, right? Back in 08, 09, 10, that time frame?
Yes.
So you were fielding a lot of phone calls?
Oh, yes. I was teaching people to do that.
Okay. So what is your take on the current package that came out? What is your understanding of what's out there, what's available?
The reality of the situation, when I read it with my expert eyes, is it's a lot of the same stuff that was available back then.
Right.
Also, the reality is the way it's being packaged and sold to consumers is not in their best interest because they don't have expert eyes.
What do you mean by that?
They don't have the background I do. They weren't right. Sitting there in call centers from sea to shining sea, listening to people break down over the phone and say, oh, my mortgage company told me 4 months ago to stop paying my mortgage. And that's what I did. And now you're telling me I don't qualify for this. It wasn't about qualifying. You told me to stop.
Right. So right now, I think people are hearing that, you can get 3 months off your mortgage payment, not have to pay it. Because of your background in doing this, and you know that all the misinformation that happened a decade ago after the mortgage crisis with these particular programs, and I'm going to talk more about it here in a minute as well, but with your background, you wanted to reach out. You actually called your mortgage servicing company just recently. What did you find out, just to kind of do some digging on your end? What were you being told?
I really thought I would hear a different story this time. And I sat on the phone and I waited in my queue and the phone lines were busy. And I just said, hey, I'm having a hard time because of COVID-19. I might not be able to make my mortgage payment. What can we do? Can we help me out with this right now? And what they said was, oh, yes, just don't make your mortgage payment until June 15th. And we can take the payments that you would be making and just put them on the end of your loan. That's what they said. And so, knowing the situation, I asked a few other questions. I said, am I going to be asked for a lump sum payment on June 15th that would be the same amount as all of my mortgage payments that I am not making during this time? No, we'll just put the payments at the end of your mortgage. So instead of it being, a 30-year mortgage, it'll be 30 years and 3 months. Okay. Are you sure that I'm not going to be reported to the credit bureau for not making my payments? Oh, no, ma'am. There will be no negative reporting on your credit at all during this period.
How can they be so wrong? Because obviously that's not the case. And we're gonna lay out exactly what is the case here in a minute. But why are they so wrong? Why are they giving such, call it what you want to, they're just outright lying.
Yes.
Whether they know they are or they think that's what it is, why is that information being stated incorrectly?
I geek out on human behavior. I'm a realtor. I love connecting people with properties and people with each other. And during the last crisis, I asked myself the same thing over and over, and I really looked hard at, you know, how were the executive team of this big bank that I worked for handling it? What were they telling all of the associates and the people on the ground? How was the news reporting it? What did the people who worked with me know coming in before I trained them versus after? And it comes down to just people don't know what they don't know, and they don't know what they should know because they don't know it. So I don't know that. I think by the time you are so engrossed in the mortgage world or in the financial world, your language naturally becomes more from the expert vantage point, and you lose touch with the people who don't know what you know, and you are not able to connect with them and really understand what bits of information are most important for them so that they can understand everything in context. And on the flip side, if you're experiencing a crisis, the first thing you want is for someone to relieve it. And so you're going to hear mostly, this is natural human behavior, this is scientifically proven, you are going to hear mostly what you want to hear first, and then the harder parts, just as a coping mechanism, you're going to stuff those in your pocket until they become critical. And the price you pay for critical in this situation is foreclosure, financial ruin. And so I just think it's really important for everyone, if you are having a hard time, you need to ask more questions. There are consumer advocacy groups that watch out for big banks and mortgage companies to not impact you negatively. You need to get your advice from people like that. You need to, if
I'd stop you, and I you know, that's good advice. I think you need to be calling people who are people like myself and people like you who are in the community and who've actually been through this before and know what the deal is and know what's being out there in the marketplace is misinformation.
I think you're right 100% too. And you know, even as I work with buyers and sellers all the time, I don't go to one source for my information to help them, because you truly need everyone to weigh in to suss out what's the truth and what's the best option for your client. And you got to let your client make that choice. But, you know, if they're going to ask us, I'm going to tell them my experience. And then the next question is, okay, well, what can I do? Right. And so, you know, the economy is shifting. You know, my economic friends tell me that we're going to be in a recession this summer. I think people, you know, that's a hot button for anyone. Anyone wants to panic when we talk about that. But I don't think there needs to be any fear around it. I think that the most important thing is finding the information you need to make the situation go from a liability for you into an opportunity for you. Because there are two sides to every coin.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg, talking the stimulus package and forbearance and how it affects homeowners right now and the maybe missing some payments or what the ramifications of that. If you've got questions, give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So, Holly, obviously you were in the thick of things a decade ago, you know, with me. And you were giving out the correct information, but from a general perspective, is it the lending institutions, the mortgage servicing companies, or just the individuals that are kind of to blame for providing all of the incorrect information, the misinformation, if you want to call it? Is it the mortgage servicing company is not doing a good enough job training their people and telling them exactly what the law states and what can, will, and will be done on things like their credit reports, on their when their payments are due? Or is it just the individual departments just not knowing?
I think it's all of that. You know, if someone came to you or to me, I feel 100% confident they would get all the information they need. You know, I do connect buyers and sellers with their properties, and I wish everyone would just use someone like you that knows what they're doing, has experience, you know, has a clean heart about it, and is in it to help people more than just for their dollar. I see it happen a lot where I have to chase another realtor because they're not doing their job, or I have to chase a loan officer because they're not doing their job, or the people that support them aren't doing their job. I don't think anyone necessarily intends to do it that way, but in the end, the clients are the ones that get the brunt of it. So,
it's true.
You know, I just think it's not only important to have one friend who does mortgages, you need to have someone who's an expert, who's been through a situation like this before, and who can consult you. And you'll know those people if they're willing to answer your questions on the day that you're not ready to fill out a loan application.
Right.
You'll know who they are. And so trust them.
Yeah. So, you know, to take it back to my experience through the mortgage crisis, you know, I've been doing mortgages for 16 years now. And so we worked straight through the mortgage crisis. And after that fact, we came out with two different programs, the HAMP program, which was the Home Affordable Modification Program, and then the HARP, which was Home Affordable Refinance Program. And both good programs depending on what you may need. And so the modification program was really for people who were behind on their mortgage payments, maybe a loss of job, a severe reduction in income due to the economy at that time. You know, things were pretty bad. We had a meltdown in the banking industries, of course, and that affected every industry in the country. And so there were people out there that, you know, needed a modification because they wouldn't qualify for a refinance program because they had missed mortgage payments or what have you. Then the refinance program was just for people who, you know, still could qualify for a regular conventional refinance, which was still a large majority of the population. The one thing that the refinance program offered was they took off the restrictions for loan-to-value ratio. So, you know, you could still refinance if you were upside down. You know, if you owed more than what your house was worth, you could still refinance as long as, you know, credit was good, you had, you know, income to qualify, that type of thing. And what happened was you would have people, and I worked for the largest mortgage bank at the time, back during that time. And so you'd have people calling in the 800 number, and they'd get transferred over to a modification team where they were told, you need to quit paying your mortgage. Now, these were people who were had jobs, had income, could qualify for a refinance. Obviously, rates fell drastically during that time, and so they could have taken advantage of a refinance program. Unfortunately, they're not in the business. They don't know. They know what they're being told by their mortgage servicing company. And the mortgage servicing company was telling them, quit paying your mortgage. After 2 months, call us back, and you may qualify for a modification program. Even if you're a fairly smart individual, your mortgage company is telling you to quit paying your mortgage. And so they did. And then they didn't qualify for a modification because a modification program has specific debt-to-income ratio requirements. If you actually make too much money, or if you have, you know, not enough debt, you wouldn't qualify for a modification program. Then the client would get some knowledge. Oh, I should call about a refinance. So then they'd call me. Hey, I want to refinance. I'd be like, okay, great. Looks like we can make it. Oh, but you've missed a few payments. You don't qualify. And literally, I talked to myself hundreds of clients that were in that same boat, and it got so frustrating. And quite frankly, I got so angry that we were screwing clients over, giving such misinformation. And, you know, I don't know who to blame. And, you know, I'll give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But it really just compounded the crisis that we were going through. And we were just really putting clients in a very bad spot by giving such terrible information. Now, fast forward 10 years later, 11 years later, I see the same things happening right now.
I even see the same verbiage. You know, because walking through it again, when I would needle through all the information that these customers were calling back on. And I would say, oh, what did you hear? What did you read? And I would go back to what was in print. It would say, you may qualify for a modification. It had absolutely no information about what the qualifications are.
Yep.
You couldn't, as a consumer, go back and see if you may qualify or not. And, you know, a lot of people are talking to their neighbor and talking to their friend and talking to their mom and talking to, you know, other consumers who have also no background. And you cannot compare apples to oranges. You don't know in this environment if you're an apple or an orange. So the other thing that I would mention is, you know, from inside of one of those giant banks and training hundreds of people across the country, our associates, a lot of them had never owned a home themselves, had never been through a mortgage process themselves. So I had to, and the training material, everything had to, it was so reactionary. The banks had to crank out this training material to teach on really highly complex systems, complex material, programs, and we were dealing with a basic public who had layman's knowledge of anything. So there was a 18% pass rate for the exam when we taught classes from sea to shining sea.
18%.
18%.
Wow.
And they didn't give me my first class for the first three weeks in, and I couldn't wait to teach. Because I really could see this gap in just this knowledge gap. And I just wanted to teach my class, number one, what is a mortgage? How does it work? Okay, let's start there.
Right.
You know? And so when they finally gave me my class, I started there and I, you know, took it from the book. I didn't just read the manual over a, you know, Zoom call or whatever. I took it and I broke down every single piece of it, and my class and I made a commitment that we would not fail each other, and we had a 98% pass rate. There were actually people observing my class because they thought I was cheating, but it was because I didn't want to create more of the same environment and give more misinformation because there was a knowledge gap.
Well, it's because you cared, and quite frankly, you know, there was just a severe lack. You know, people say they care, but they don't put their actions behind that.
Exactly. And the people who were developing it, their heart was, of course, to get this information out to the public as quickly as possible, but they didn't think about the fact that the people who were giving that information to the public also needed to understand what a mortgage is.
Right.
And it really bothers me a lot. Right now, when I even call to my own, I can't even tell you if I qualify, and I have a background in this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I get very angry about it. And it's very frustrating to see. I mean, you know, listen, again, I call your local experts who actually know what's in this bill, how it's being, you know, portrayed, and your social media buddy who is not in the business. I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, advertising, oh, quit paying your mortgage. He is not doing you any favors, and he's dead wrong.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. No ramifications. Just quit paying. That's just not how it works. We're going to detail how that works. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're here with Holly Deedy, Keller Williams Real Estate, a background actually in handling modifications back during the mortgage crisis. So, yeah, keep going, Holly.
Well, I was just going to say that the economy is changing and the data is out there for everyone to see. A lot of people don't understand the numbers. They just know from feeling what happened before that they don't want to feel like that again.
Right.
But knowledge is power. And, you know, you and I are here, and our friends who help us suss out what's going on, you know, we continue to be in front of those people, in front of those economists, in front of those financial gurus. The data is what it is. It's not going to change. But everyone's relationship to that data is different. It's an individual basis. And when we had the mortgage crisis in 2008, I just remember there were so many people who were running straight for it, saying, yay, there's relief, there's help for me. And what they didn't understand is the gate in was so wide, but the actual way to get through was so narrow. There were only a very small portion of the population who were actually qualified for any of these programs. And guess what our leaders did? They started just pointing fingers at each other and politicizing everything. They didn't help at all. The options are there because people need them. That gives people warm fuzzies. But you got to know that you're qualified before you just trust that something that looks too good to be true is true.
And the people that were rejected for those programs ended up coming out much worse.
Much, much worse.
Than they went in, because they were told to quit making their mortgage payments, quit doing this. Their credit went, was very negatively impacted. Then they wouldn't qualify for a refinance. And, they would lose equity in their homes. Some got foreclosed on because of it. And that's why you saw so many lawsuits after the fact, which just blows my mind to see what's happening right now. So let's talk about what's happening right now. Let's kind of dig through the $2.2 trillion stimulus package, the CARE Act that just came out, and how it relates to making or not making your mortgage payments. So in the bill, it calls for a forbearance program. That is the key word, forbearance, and how we define that. It is not a deferral program like Holly found out when she called, and they've described it as a deferral program, but it's not. So you may call your mortgage servicer regardless of what they tell you. Here's how it works. You're going to get 3 months with no mortgage payments. It's a forbearance. Let's say your principal and interest payment is $1,000 a month. Now, we're not going to include your escrows for that, because you're still going to have to pay your escrows, your insurance, and taxes. You're going to get a 3-month reprieve on your principal and interest payment. So month one, you save $1,000. Month two, you're going to save another $1,000. Month three, you're not paying that third $1,000 payment. Month four, you've got a bill for $4,000 that you got to pay. That is the reality of the situation. Now, what comes next? There's some ambiguity there. You may be forced into a modification program if you can't make the payment.
Oh, and guess what, Brandon? Good luck with that, because you can't even get someone to answer the telephone right now to take your call.
You're absolutely right. And so good luck with that. That may drag on for another 4, 5, 6 months. What happens after that time period? You may be foreclosed on. If you've got equity in your home, that may be out the window. No one can tell you right now what happens after the 3-month forbearance period. Only thing that is certain is you owe that money right away. Now, maybe some servicing companies out there, maybe the government will better define how that should be treated. But you should know, if you take the forbearance program and do not make your mortgage payment for 3 months, your credit will be impacted. A lot of people are saying it won't be. There's no way that your credit will not be impacted, because how the credit reporting agencies work is they report your monthly payments every single month. If you're not making a payment, then those months are going to be blank. Even if they don't negatively report it, those 3 months are still going to show a blank payment. Now, when you go to buy a house down the road, when you go to refinance your home down the road, an underwriter is going to look at that, and that will negatively impact you. Now, if you don't make your full payment in month four and catch back up, then you're definitely going to have negative reports to your credit report. So you are going to be impacted for sure. And the ramifications of what comes next, nobody knows for sure, but fairly confident to say it's not going to be positive.
No, it's not. There are millions and millions of people jumping in the pool right now.
Right.
We don't even know what we're jumping into. It could be toxic. I mean, it probably is.
And most likely it will be. I mean, that's what, you know, the stimulus package is helpful for some people. And listen, you may be in a situation where you have to take the forbearance. And if that is you, that's what the program exists for. If you've lost your job, I mean, you know, I think about restaurant workers right now.
Yes.
That are really hurting. But if you are the guy out on social media right now telling everybody to quit making their payment and you're still working and you're still drawing the same income that you have for the past, you know, X number of months or years, you are incredibly short-sighted. You're incredibly wrong, and you're going to be shocked when the bill comes due, and you're going to really regret not understanding what you entered into.
Absolutely.
So, you know, listen, if you can't make your mortgage payment, if you've lost your job, absolutely call your mortgage servicing company, begin the forbearance program, and hopefully over the next 3 months, some more information will come out. You'll be protected. There's no guarantees, though, quite honestly. If you're in a situation where you've lost your job, but you've got some savings, you know, I would certainly recommend getting all the information and doing whatever you can to try and still make your mortgage payments. If you haven't been affected, if you're still working, if you've got built up savings, do not miss your mortgage payment. It will not be good down the road. You put your equity at risk. You put your home at risk. You put your credit at risk. And we'll see what comes down the pike, but it's not going to be good.
Well, and moving into a recession, economists are also predicting that the housing values will go down. Now, in Charlotte and Fort Mill and surrounding areas, we're kind of in a great little spot. We don't usually get impacted the way the most of the country does.
We've got a fantastic market for sure.
And so I don't anticipate that, you know, if you're an investor looking for, you know, half off, you're not getting that. The number I've heard from my economist friends has been on average across the United States, the values may go down 20%. Around here, I really would be shocked if it went like below 10%. So, you know, you might not have to make an offer over list price anymore, which is the way that we've been doing real estate right, for the past several years. But if you're in that position right now where you lost your job, you know, you're having to think about how am I going to pay my mortgage? You also want to protect yourself from, you know, the upcoming recession, because it may make you might think, well, in 5 years after the kids graduated from high school, my wife and I want to downsize. You know, it might make more sense for you to make that move now instead of waiting 5 years, because let's say that you live somewhere and the value does drop 10%. Well, if your house is worth $300,000 now and we could sell it in 2 weeks because there's still a lot of demand, but you wait and take that 10% hit, then the good news about recessions is they only last about a year to a year and a half. So it's not like the sun isn't going to come back out. Totally is. But if your house is worth $290 at the end of the recession and then, you know, the values start to climb again, you're not climbing on top of $300,000 anymore. You're starting at $290. So any increment that increases in the value is still going to take more time for you to get where you were at the beginning of the market. And if you need your cash because you know, lost your job or you're having a hard time right now, then, you know, it might make more sense to do that downsize now, or even just move into something temporarily until buy a smaller place, rent something. It's not a one size fits all, but I'm taking every single one of my clients right now, and all of their stories are different. And all of the, you know, things that they need to do right now are different based on what's going on in the economy.
Yeah, I've seen reports that, you know, anywhere between 15% and 18% decrease in valuations throughout the country is kind of what I've seen. And yeah, I think we're fairly insulated from high percentages like that, but certainly, you know, it looks like, you know, unemployment came out yesterday with 6.6 million unemployment claims. You know, it's and you know, going to get worse. You know, I think the St. Louis, the head of the St. Louis Fed, came out and said, you know, maybe unemployment gets to 32%. I mean, I don't think anybody can really fathom what that may look like from an economic standpoint. And what I, you know, I went through the first mortgage crisis. I was very exposed to the market at that time. And, you know, the one thing I certainly learned was to, you know, always plan ahead. And, you know, hopefully that kind of message comes out. But, you know, begin to, you know, look at not just right now, but what if this happens again? Will you be ready the next time from an economic standpoint, just personally, from a personal financial standpoint? And that's certainly a message I'm trying to get out, you know. And so that may look like downsizing a home. I think the average homeowner right now has over 25% equity. So now is a great time to look at refinancing. You know, rates are low. And instead of taking a forbearance, you just like back in the mortgage crisis when we had these great refinance programs and people were calling about a modification program and then, you know, losing out on both, you know, make sure that doesn't happen to you now. You know, call your local mortgage professional. Call me anytime, 704-999-6646. Let's put some refinance numbers together and, you know, see if there's some opportunities to maybe do even a cash out refinance, eliminate some of your other debt. And that may be a really good option for a lot of people right now because of values are still good. People have a lot of equity in their homes. Maybe they got some credit card debt or some student loans, car loans, whatever it may be. A cash out refinance may be a fantastic opportunity right now. Or maybe they're, you know, maybe looking at switching up their housing payments for, you know, something a little less expensive or what have you.
Yep. And I think it's a team effort. I think, you know, this is exactly why I surround myself with professionals who can help me advise my clients from every angle. Another thing about the, you know, upcoming recession and, you know, finance, is this a temporary thing? Yes, it is. A lot of people I hear saying that, you know, COVID-19 caused this. Well, yes and no, right? I mean, we were 11 years into a great, you know, trend, and there's supposed to be a recession every 7 years. So we were about 4 years past due, right? And so what happens when that occurs is people are looking around. They're saying, man, everything is so rosy. When's the shoe going to fall? When is the shoe going to fall? When is the shoe going to fall? And then we start getting sick from COVID and boom, everyone starts jumping into the, oh, it's the end of the world pool. But it's not the end of the world. It's a temporary situation. So believe it or not, I think everyone, every single individual across the country has so much of an important role to play in our future. So, and I'm going to tell you why. This COVID thing is going to end. It is a virus. The virus season will end. We will be able to get back out of our house. We will be able to go back to what we were doing. And I'm hearing from my friends and family how much they long to go support those local shops, go, you know, out to eat, have a big party. And basically, from that rallying, I can imagine that we would start adding back the jobs that were lost, and we could be out of this entire situation and right back into this beautiful, optimistic, positive financial situation in no time. But if everyone decides to not pay their mortgage and start, you know, like making decisions without all the facts, and then they start getting themselves into a financial crisis that actually didn't exist, then it might be a little bit of a different story. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic point. You know, I think people making rash, bad decisions due to fear and what, you know, again, what their ill-informed neighbor on social media is telling them to do will absolutely exacerbate the problem and make it much worse, not only for them, but, you know, for the country from an economic standpoint. If you going back to the, you know, did coronavirus cause this? You know, the from a housing perspective, the housing market, you know, was really fantastic fundamentals going into this. From an economic standpoint, I think there were some indications that we were going to be looking at a potential recession. And so really, the coronavirus was really just a catalyst that made it happen very, very quickly.
So fast.
I mean, you know, who would have thought, you know, 2 months ago that, you know, you'd be stuck at home, schools would be closed, businesses would be, you know, no one could have foreseen this. But so I think, you know, coronavirus was certainly a catalyst, but you're absolutely right, Holly. People who just think this is a, you know, a free opportunity or an opportunity to just not pay their bills, regardless of whether they can or not, regardless of whether they haven't lost their jobs or not, regardless of whether, you know, they're negatively impacted from a financial standpoint, I think is really, really going to be short-sighted and really negatively affect the economy as a whole, and certainly them individual, which, you know, most everyone's concerned about, and as they should be. But I think there should also be some concern to have a outlook that's slightly bigger than yourself.
Yes. And I think people don't understand the role that they play. Every single one of us, we only make one person's worth of decisions, but all of those decisions create our economic environment, good or bad.
Right.
It always does. And, you know, in 2008, why was that such a disaster? We were propped up on what? Subprime lending, right?
Terrible loans.
No, we don't have the same thing here. We
totally
don't have
different.
You know, we put in all those regulations and stuff that I taught people from Sea to Shining Sea. And, you know, I also want to caution that I don't believe anything is bulletproof, right? It's always the enemy that you're not seeing. That's where you're going to get hit. So, you know, the best advice is just stay informed. Here, you know, we were all just so positive that, you know, as a human race, we're like, it can't be this good. Well, sometimes it can. You decide that. You know, it's just like me telling my children right now when they want to go, you know, they want to go back out to the Sky Zone or something, and we have to do homeschool, and they can't go play with their friends. And, you know, I'm like, you decide if you're bored or not. This isn't my job to make you have fun. You decide if this is fun for you or not. So you decide, everyone who's listening, what your economic situation is going to be. We're all here to support you and to help give you the knowledge. You can have just as much of an opportunity at this time as you can have, you know, all the problems and issues that you may have on your plate. And, you know, I am definitely open for conversations. There's nothing too ugly for me. I'm happy to help you in any way.
Yeah, that's such a great point. If you're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio right now, give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. You know, going back to post-mortgage crisis, you know, and I've been doing mortgages for 16 years now. I was substantially exposed to the real estate market back then, lost a great deal, worked through it, And then after the fact, it really gave me a great perspective to counsel other people through foreclosure issues, through, you know, bankruptcy issues, poor financial management issues. And I began doing a lot of just kind of one-on-one personal financial coaching. And I've put some things out there recently on social media. That's really my passion, Holly, is for everyone to succeed financially. And there's definitely some fundamentals to that go into that, and, you know, things like budgeting and, you know, this evil word budgeting, right?
Yeah.
You know, such a lack of percentage of people actually budget and plan for the future. So, listen, if you're listening and want some free help, some free guidance on just being a good personal financial money manager, give us a call. I'm happy to help. Holly, I know you help as well. We want everyone to succeed financially and, you know, be able to plan ahead for things like this. And so if you need some help, do not hesitate to reach out. 704-999-6646.
You know, ultimately, Brandon, I want to, my family, we want to be able to serve other people. And if we are living paycheck to paycheck, and we are only considering the income that comes from, we're a big entrepreneur family, but back when I did work for a major financial corporation and I got a paycheck every 2 weeks, if that was the only income that I could ever foresee myself having, and we all know you get like a 3% raise if it's a good year, you can't make yourself get a better job there. You have to wait in line with everyone else and hope that, you know, the next hiring manager just, you know, likes your jib or whatever. Being out of that situation has taught me so much that I am actually in control of my entire financial picture. I can either play small and be miserable, or I can protect myself, protect my assets, get out of debt, and then add other streams of income that make it possible for me to, you know, make three times as much money and give three times as much to people who need it. It has just meant so much to me and to my family to be able to help other mom, maybe single moms who like with just groceries or something.
Right.
And then, you know, there are other, nonprofits that I love to support. I'm a twin mom and I love to support the Charlotte Mothers of Multiples because they, you know, help our community of mothers who have twins, triplets, and quads. Oh, that's a lot. And so, you know, it's just so freeing to understand that I do have control over that situation. No matter what the economy says, you know, I can make investments that real estate is an excellent investment because why? We can't make more land, right?
Right.
It's a resource that we can't make more of, but there are always more people wanting it. So, just baby steps. Anybody can be a good investor. Anybody can have multiple streams of income, and anyone can rise above the paycheck to paycheck scenario.
And it starts with my biggest pet peeve whenever I see someone's credit report. Don't go buy a stupid expensive car that you can't afford. I really do. All joking aside, see it on a daily basis where, you know, if people were just willing to not, you know, have a $600 a month car payment, you know, that would completely change their financial picture. I learned, again, going back to the original mortgage crisis, kind of learned myself that way. And because I was in that same boat, and I went and sold it right away. My heart breaks for people who just don't, quite frankly, know any better or think that that's, you know, normal to, you know, to have a $50,000 a year job and have a, you know, $600-$700 a month car payment. Like, that's not sustainable. And I try to, you know, give good advice on that as much as possible. You know, don't do that to yourself. I think the foundation of any good financial plan, like you were just saying, you know, having the income or the income streams to give away and do things like that. One thing that, you know, we've been trying to do, my family is do lots of takeout. We have probably put on a few pounds, but we've just kind of decided that that's one thing we can really easily do for our community. Go out to local restaurants, just get takeout. So we've been doing that a lot. Going to an overall financial plan, you know, give, save, then spend. Yep. That's what you'll be so much rewarded for, you know, not hoarding and to giving freely. And, but you, in order to do that, you know, you got to practice good, sound financial planning and budgeting and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm getting on a soapbox.
Well, and, you know, and I start thinking about how everything is so connected and how I've mentioned it a couple of times, how individually our choices matter. And also, everything is so connected. Like, you're talking about just the goodwill giving. It is a catalyst for making more money because it makes you as a person more invested in your own success because you see the value of giving to others. You know, I recently read an article. I mean, I am a realtor, so I sell dirt, basically, right? Yeah. And
beautiful dirt.
Beautiful dirt. And some ugly dirt, but it's all got potential. I was reading an article that said being outdoors and hearing the sounds from outdoors gives you 800%, you're 800% more likely to be happy or something like that. There's all this science around, you know, our human connection to the earth and to the ground. And, you know, so I've been encouraging all my clients and fellow realtors to think about what we do in that frame. And, you know, we sell that piece of land to someone, and right now is a perfect opportunity when we can't go to the mall and we can't do, you know, what we want to do necessarily, to just sit where we are, put our feet on the ground, and listen to what's going on around and pay attention, and then reach out for more information on those things that make you curious, or those things that, as you know, Marie Kondo says, spark joy. Find those things and then investigate them and see where you are at the end of this, because it is a lot about the tangible things, the money in your bank account, the bills that you pay, but all of those things are impacted by the intangibles, and we have been gifted a huge opportunity right now to pay more attention to those intangibles. And I think even if you try to not be impacted by that in this time frame, you're going to look back and you're going to notice that things are different. Your thought patterns are different. And that's the most I can even wish for anybody.
It is a fantastic opportunity right now to really dig into anything, you know, anything to improve your life for the better, to learn new skills, you know, to read new books. I mean, a lot of people are home, stuck at home. So most are still working, although there are, you know, significant numbers of unemployment rising. But a really fantastic time to kind of, you don't have much else to do, but maybe read some books and learn some new skills and put some new behavior practices in play. And so, yeah, you can take this one or two ways. I mean, and I think even, you know, a recent, you know, one of these coronavirus meetings recently, you know, the question was asked, you know, do you see, you know, domestic violence going up, whatever? And that's going up. But what's also going up are families are connecting, talking more, and becoming closer. And so you have both options. You know, it's really up to you to decide. And we're becoming a self-help show here quickly. you know, that's important from time to time, is really kind of look at it, you know, hey, what can we do to, you know, better ourselves, better our community? When we talk about real estate, and, you know, obviously there are people who are listening because of, they want to know the ins and outs of what to do right now from a real estate perspective. What are you seeing your buyers and sellers, you know, how are they handling these changes? What's going on specifically in the real estate market right now?
A few weeks ago, my clients basically asked me, what should we do? Should I not move? Should I wait and see what happens? And again, there's data, but everyone's relationship to that data is different. So it's truly a case-by-case basis. And, you know, the way that my job has changed, I still wake up unemployed every morning. That's the beauty of being
you
in
and
this
me both.
Industry, right? I wake up unemployed every morning. And so I have to, if I want to keep making my mortgage payments, I have to think of new ways and innovate and, you know, change and bend and stay malleable. So, you know, I have clients who needed to move right now, and we have created an environment where we can show properties virtually, and then we can do things in the contract and arrange the timing of the contract so that it eliminates the risk for my buyers and still allows my sellers to move on and sell their property. And believe it or not, you know, we've even got some in multiple offers. And, you know, it completely depends on the property, though. If I'm in a price point right now where the market is not responding as quickly, then I would probably wait until we can see it, you know, in person. If we're in a price point where we just have no inventory and there's really no competition, you know, it's a great idea to do virtual showing. You can avoid having anyone come in your house. You can have your kids at home because everybody knows that's a thing now, and you can sell your house. So, you know, it's truly case by case. It's zip code by zip code. It's neighborhood by neighborhood. And it has everything to do with the motivations of my buyers and sellers as to whether it's appropriate for them or not.
So, yeah, so great information. So, hey, if you're listening and are thinking about, you know, is now the time or should I wait? Obviously, there's lots of numbers and matrices out there, which Holly just kind of described. Give us a call, 704-999-6646. We'll walk you through that process, what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that virtual tours, I mean, and it goes back to like pre-coronavirus, the fundamentals in the real estate market were really strong. There's still much more demand than there is supply, especially in certain price ranges. I'm kind of surprised that the virtual tours are working so well. You know, people are getting in multiple offers without having seen the house just because the demand is so great and the supply is so low.
Well, that's true. And also, there's been a huge shift lately in the way that people buy and sell things. You know, about 10 years ago, I was telling my friends who had kiosks in the mall that they needn't worry about that anymore because people were going to stop going to the mall, that they needed to start thinking about how can I, you know, do this on social media? How can I get my product out virtually because people are going to start shopping online more? And now look where we are.
Now no one shops online. Just kidding.
You can get anything online. My groceries online.
Delivered fresh to your door.
In 2 hours, no matter what, but no toilet paper.
Right. Who knows why there's a lack of toilet paper right now? Like it's really interesting that a respiratory disease has caused a great shortage of toilet paper.
I think that's been the question of the year. It really is the question that'll go down.
At the end of 2020, when they're showing a highlight reel of the highs and lows for 2020, I think that, yeah, you're right. The question will be, why did we have a lack of toilet paper? Why were people, you know, buying, 1,000 rolls at a time?
Take a bath, people.
Right. So Holly, so anything else that, home buyers or potential home buyers, home sellers need to, you know, kind of think about in this market that we're in and.
I feel like it's just so important. I feel like people may think they need to get in touch with their real estate agent or, you know, their lender when it's time for them to make a move. It's not like that anymore. You know, I need to talk to you and understand your situation today so that we can put a plan together that makes sense for you in the next year, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years. I have valuable information that I can share with you and we can do this together. I may make no money from any of our conversations until it's time for you to move. And again, that could be 5 years from now. But that's the reason I do what I do, because I enjoy that input. And I really love watching my clients' expectations of what they could achieve just be completely blown out of the water because I was able to provide them that expertise that they needed along the way.
Yeah, and it's why we do this show. You know, we want to educate first and foremost. That's our number one goal, to make sure that everyone's making an informed decision with a very valuable asset such as their home. And so, you know, I'll leave all of our listeners with this. You know, that if you are contemplating a forbearance, give us a call first. We'll give you the correct information, 704-999-6646. You may want to look at a refinance. And again, we can help you with that too. It may be much better option to look at a refinance than to do this forbearance, which is going to put yourself at risk. But get all the answers, get all the facts from people who actually know. and I'll just go ahead and say it, calling your mortgage servicing company, their 800 number, and dialing someone they just hired and gave a one-page spreadsheet to, they do not know. You call it what you want to. I'm sure there are good people. They just don't know. So call the people that do know. 704-999-6646 will help you out. We care about you, and we care about our community, and we want the best for you. And we certainly hope this thing ends quickly.
Yes.
And we all get back to work and have no problems making payments of any kind and get back to living the life that we all want to.
Please do.
Thanks so much for tuning in. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We will catch you next Saturday, 9 a.m. Take care.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiga K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.